member of the Calgary Flames. He has himself a nice new contract in his back pocket. Good morning to Michael Ferland. Congratulations, Michael. How you feeling?
Thank you. Good morning. Yeah, I feel really good. Thank you.
So take me through it. This doesn't seem on the surface to be one of those knockdown, drag-out type of negotiations with Brad Treliving. Is that fair?
Yeah, no, we just wanted to get it over with. And, you know, I thought it was fair for both sides. And, you know, it brings me right into UFA when the contract's over.
I guess that's probably the focus on both sides. I think 2 years is nice. You'll be happy to get to unrestricted free agency and make them or somebody else paying for the Flames. If you blossom like you have here in the last little bit, it'll be money well spent. When you first put pen to paper, I mean, tell me about the, where were you? What was the scenario in signing this deal?
I'm actually back in Manitoba right now. I'm visiting family, so I was just with my fiance, and you know, we got a call from my agent, and we called back and forth maybe two or three times, and then I just talked to Kaylee, and you know, we figured we both thought that there was you know, just perfect for, you know, both sides, and like I said, free agent in 2 years, so I just said, yeah, let's do it, and we were happy with it, and so I just signed in Verdun and sent them right back.
Signed it in Verdun, pump it back in. You know what? Yeah. I think it's kind of neat that we catch you this morning back home, because there would have been a time, Mike, I'm guessing, when you were younger, to think that you would ever have that you would be a millionaire, that you would sign a multi-million dollar contract in the NHL. That would have been beyond your wildest dreams. Can you kind of take us through when you're 10, 11, and 12? Nowadays, a lot of kids, they're playing hockey around the calendar. They play hockey 24/7. That was not your story. Can you kind of bring people up to speed with what your minor hockey or your when you were a younger kid, what it was like for you?
Yeah, no, I mean, I remember... you know, my mom would always tell me, you know, that I was going to go to the NHL, but at the time I was playing house league hockey, and I didn't think that it was possible, and, you know, I still think about that once in a while.
I mean, you're playing house league. When did it become, like, at what level, at what age, did it maybe start to sink in that you're better than house league, and there's a chance that you could be among the best of your age group?
Probably once I started to play after my second year, that's kind of when I thought, you know, maybe I could play junior A or something. And then, you know, that's when, after that year, I tried out for the Wheat Kings, and, you know, I didn't think I had a chance to make the team, and I ended up making the team. So ever since then, everything kind of just took off.
So you're playing house league, and then 2 years later, you're playing triple A, and then a year later, you're playing in the Western Hockey League. That's an amazing rise. No, not a lot of people get that done. Talk about Kelly McCrimmon, of course, the GM, the owner and everything there. I know he had a big hand in taking you under his wing and kind of, in a way, turning you into a professional hockey player, even though it was at the Western Hockey League level.
Junior really taught me, you know, a lot. I didn't really know much. You know, like I said, I played house pretty much my whole life. And then I remember one time I was at practice playing midget triple A, and I told my coach I wasn't going to be there for the next, I don't know if it was a game or a practice, and he was asking me why I wasn't going to be there. I told him that I was going to Winnipeg to go shopping. He goes, you're going to need a way better excuse to leave than that.
Yeah, you learn in a hurry, right?
Oh, yeah. So I think, you know, just with school too, like I didn't really take school seriously until I started playing junior, and then I graduated. And so, yeah, it really taught me a lot.
I want to talk about your draft. I remember that draft weekend because it was in Los Angeles, and I actually sat around, we were having some drinks with your agent that night, and he said, you know what, the Calgary Flames seem to have a lot of interest in Mike. Don't be surprised tomorrow if they call Michael's name. And sure enough, it came to be that they did call your name. Do you remember back why you felt like maybe the Flames were going to be the team that selected you?
Yeah, I remember, you know, I was actually playing in a ball hockey tournament at that time, and I was with Matt Calvert, who plays in Columbus. He was our captain at the time, and he kept coming up to me, asking me if I had my phone on to keep it on, and I said, yeah, but I didn't think I was going to get drafted, and he told me, yeah, you'll get drafted, wait and see, and sure enough, I remember I was sitting on a picnic table, and the phone started ringing, and it was a number from LA, and it was Daryl Sutter that called me, and I couldn't believe it.
Michael Ferland has a new deal, 2 years, $1.75 million per season. You get drafted, you finish up your junior career. That 12-13 season, it was probably not one that you remember that fondly, between Abbotsford and the Utah Grizzlies and the East Coast, and then back to Brandon, then off to Saskatoon. That was, so much travel, so much in terms of, in a way, letdown. Obviously, that Saskatoon team, things were, a lot more was expected of the Blades that year, let's put it that way. What do you remember of that year? Because it was a tumultuous one for sure.
Yeah, it was, even Brandon, when I was 20 years old. Sorry, that's my daughter here.
That's second. All right. Is she happy? Tell her to say hi for us.
She wants to get to the dog.
Yeah, yeah.
No, yeah, that was a tough year. Just first time leaving home, and I went to camp. I was so out of shape, and I wasn't playing. I was, I was getting bag skated every day, and I just wasn't having fun. And Krim and them taught me a lot, but I still, at the same time, I wasn't taking hockey as serious as I should have back then. And I still didn't know what it meant to be in shape. And it was a tough year. And then I think the best thing for me was to go back down to play junior and, just to play hockey again. I got to, go play. And obviously it was a tough, a tough tournament for us. And the Memorial Cup, obviously weren't happy with that, but I think it was for a personal, I think it was good for me.
You mentioned being in shape. That was one thing, and obviously it's now been well documented, your substance abuse battles that you've since overcome. You're now you're a success story. Where was it? I mean, not that I want to dig up bad memories, but when you get to that point where it's time to turn the corner and to get help, where was that in the course of the last the few seasons? Like, where was that moment for you?
I guess it'd be the second after I came after junior. That's when I talked a lot with our strength coach, Tommy Gunn, and that's where I dug deep, and that's when I knew I just didn't want to do that stuff anymore.
Probably weird for you to think that here you are, you're still a young kid yourself, but now for many young kids, and even probably for kids that are in junior that maybe battle this sort of thing, you're a role model now. You are that guy. You played house league, you battled the demons, and now you've got a multi-million dollar contract. Does that feel weird? Are you comfortable with that you really are a success story now?
Yeah, it's it feels a little weird sometimes. It's unreal. It's an unbelievable feeling. And, people tell me all the time, they look up to me, and it makes me feel really good. And I think, all the stuff that I've been through, I think it's really helped me become who I am today, and, makes me look at things a lot differently now.
And it should make you feel good, because a lot of people battle it, and not a lot of people have the strength that you did. Last question on this. When you decided to go public with it, what was your rationale? Because there's a lot of people that do, whether it's drugs or alcohol, they battle, and maybe they, they clean up, but they don't feel the need to let the public know or to go to the media with it. Why did you decide to do that?
I can't even really remember why I did. I think it was in the playoffs. I think people kind of caught wind of it, and I didn't even care really at the time. I think people kind of already had a feeling, so I just said, I was in rehab last year and stuff, so I didn't really care. It didn't bother me.
And now you see a guy like Emile Poirier, and he'll be looking up to you as well. Do you see a little bit of yourself in what Emile is going through?
Oh yeah, I talk to Poirier a lot, and he's one of my good buddies, and I called him through when he was in rehab and stuff, and he, just hearing him say, I just think about what you've been through for me, and it helps me. And I remember when I was here and Brian McCann was here, it helped me, so it helps a lot.
Michael Ferland, our guest here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, signs his new 2-year deal yesterday. So take us to this year. When you played with Monahan and Gaudreau near the final third of the season, obviously it worked. Why? I mean, it was not the first time that you had played with them. Why did it click then and not maybe earlier this season?
I don't know why it just clicked. Because I played with them before. And I think before I'd just be gripping my stick too much and being too nervous, too afraid to make plays. And I figured once I got a shot this year, I was just going to shoot the puck. I wasn't going to, look to pass first. And so I think just because I didn't really change much.
Yeah. I think there is that tendency, isn't there, Mike, where when you play with somebody like Johnny, you just feel like you got to get him the puck. You overpass, you overthink, and you just want to dish it all the time. I think that's probably accurate, because as soon as you started to just shoot the puck is when the line as a whole really started to take off.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I talked with the coaches before that, and, you know, they said, don't change anything, shoot the puck, and, you know, create room for the guys, and that's what I did. And, you know, after I scored, you know, the two goals in Nashville, all I was thinking was, like, I'm just going to keep shooting.
Yeah, good idea. Was that the night that sticks out to you? We had Peter Labardius in last week, and he says that night in Nashville was such a big turning point. Do you agree? Was that the night for you?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it was a great night for everybody, and then you just kept shooting, and now you keep shooting. When you have, because you have a unique set of skills, you can hit, you can fight, you can score, you can skate. That makes you a very versatile player. But I'm just wondering, what is the message from the coaches? Because you are one of the few guys who can intimidate the other team, that you are big and strong and you can barrel through guys. Is it hard to kind of keep your focus sometimes when this shift I'm a scorer and this shift I'm being physical and this shift I'm forechecking, but now I've forgotten to shoot the puck? Is it a difficult role in a way, for the one that you fill?
No, not really. I mean, I just go out there and, I mean, I prepare myself like I do for every game, and I just go out there and play hockey. And, you know, say if I'm having a bad game and I'm fighting the puck, and I mean, I'll just go out there and then I'll just start trying to finish my hits and try to, you know, help the team that way.
Yeah. So how does Michael Ferland and his daughter and his family, how do you celebrate a new NHL your million-dollar contract?
Taking my daughter to horse riding right away.
There you go.
She's got a horse show to go to.
Good for you, man.
Yeah.
I know that Flames fans, your story is a great one. It's a success story, and you should be very proud. Congratulations on the deal, and I know Flames fans are pumped to have you back.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. There's Mike Ferland.